This evening, a North Korean diplomat is meeting with Bill Richardson, the former U.S. ambassador to the United Nations. The White House expects Richardson to stick to the Bush administration's line. We're ready to talk with North Korea, but no negotiations over the North's nuclear program. North Korea does not have official diplomatic relations with the United States, but Bill Richardson has experience talking to the North Koreans. In 1994, he negotiated with them when the helicopter of two American servicemen crashed north of the demilitarized zone that separates the two Koreas. 37,000 U.S. troops in South Korea today are a sign of the peninsula's division, and there have been calls recently for those troops to be removed. Among those who favor eliminating or dramatically reducing the American military presence, commentator Ken Edelman.
Withdrawing U.S. troops from Korea would sure shake up that already shaky peninsula. That may be just what's needed now. At times, one dramatic act can transform an unfolding dramatic saga. This Shakespeare shows clearly in Macbeth, right after he murders the good King Duncan. As Macbeth is being probed and then increasingly suspected, Lady Macbeth suddenly faints. Her swoon immediately draws everyone's attention. It stops that inquest. It transforms that scene. Something must now transform the scene in Korea. North Korea's tyrant plays the only card he's got, the nuclear card, and so far that's the winning hand. The South Koreans play the resentment card, rising anti-Americanism caused by 50 years of dependence on our power and persistence for their peace and prosperity. Its incoming president postures as a neutral mediator between the United States and North Korea. That's infuriating. Winston Churchill once quipped, "There are always some people around who are content to remain neutral as between the fire brigade and the fire." But why this notion of withdrawing half, if not all, American troops from Korea, especially from a hawk like me? Beyond Korea, it would send a timely message on Iraq and transform the East Asian region. It could break today's dysfunctional paradigm of a still dependent but increasingly resentful South Korea, a duplicitous China, a free-riding Japan, and a you-handle-the-messy-stuff Russia. More specifically, withdrawing at least half of our 37,000 troops from Korea would reap three benefits. First, show the world what Americans instinctively know. Know that we're not an imperial power. The default position of U.S. foreign policy is isolationist, not expansionist. That's a critical message to beam right now. U.S. troops shouldn't stay in Iraq after liberation any longer than they're wanted by a freely elected Iraqi government. Second, to challenge South Koreans on whether our military presence is indeed unwanted. Sure seems so, but I doubt it really is so. Third, and surely most potently, withdrawing troops from Korea would send shockwaves across Asia. This, to my mind, is a good thing. Russia, China, and especially Japan, now languishing, would bolt up. Thus far, these three neighbors, whose security is far more endangered by a nuclear-packed Korean peninsula than is ours, have laid back. Now they can get away with that. Both North and South Korea are successfully spinning this as a face-off between America and North Korea. Everyone else can just relax as spectators. Withdrawing our troops sure would shake them up. It would force these neighboring states, who have most at stake, who have most power, to take most responsibility, instead of fainting their way out of yet another dicey situation.
Ken Edelman is a member of the Pentagon's Defense Policy Board. Tomorrow we'll hear an opposing view, the argument for keeping the U.S. military on the Korean Peninsula as a stabilizing force in the region.